Oh, we just love you so much, Father. We're so grateful. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We magnify you and honor you this morning. We're so grateful. We're in your presence today. We are humbled to be here, Father. We're just so thankful. We're just so grateful for everything that you've done, for all that you've given, for all that you've provided. You are so faithful. You are so kind to us, and we can't ever begin to thank you enough, Father. We could stay here until next week at this time, and it wouldn't be enough to shower you with thanksgiving and praise for what our hearts feel and know, Father God. It's just hard to express it in English. And so, Lord, we're just so grateful for all that you've done for us, Father, for all that you've given to us. We love you this morning. And, Father, help us to complete your will this morning. Father, you have a plan and a purpose for this service, that people did not come to hear from me. They've come to hear from the living God. Father, I'm just the vessel that you're going to speak through. Father, we're not here looking to a man. We're not here looking to a ministry. We're here looking to you, Father. And we make sure that we always point that out, Father, that I'm just a man. Father, I'm just a branch in the vine. I can't do anything apart from the vine. And so, Father, we look to you. We say, help us, speak through me, that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, help me to say exactly what needs to be said, striking chords in every single person's heart. Speak to each person individually, Father, and I know that's what your intent is. Father, you can take a room full of people with different backgrounds, different needs, different circumstances in life, and speak to each and every one of us on a personal level. So, Father, speak to us this morning. We love you, we praise you, and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Mark 16. If you were here, I believe it was a Wednesday night 2 weeks ago, I preached on along the lines of this, and I'll do just a tiny bit of review on that to catch people up that weren't here, but the Lord wants us to go further with this. But it says in Mark chapter 16, it says, go ye. Well, that word ye there is talking to the body of Christ. Amen? Amen? It's talking to us, Jesus says. Go ye into all the world. Well, all the world is South Dayton. All the world is Forestville. All the world is Cattaraugus. All the world is Fredonia. All the world is Cherry Creek. Amen? That's all the world. All the world is Walmart where you shop. All the world is Thanksgiving dinner at your house. All the world is your places of employment. Praise God. It's all the world. It covers every area. And Jesus says, go ye, you, the body of Christ, into all the world and preach. That word preach there, don't get tripped up on that word. That just means to publish, to proclaim. To what? Publish or proclaim the gospel to every creature. Amen? Amen? We saw on that Wednesday night that we are the body of Christ, right? Jesus is the head of the church, but we're the body, and it's the body that gets something done. My brain can tell me I'm thirsty. My brain can tell me, hey, there's water right over there. My brain can say, hey, body, walk over there, open that water up and take a drink. And my brain can want to do it, but if my body says no, amen, then the body's going to say, then it's not going to happen. It doesn't matter what the head wants. Well, the head wants the world to be born again, amen? Amen? The number one desire of God, the number one will of Jesus, is that nobody on this earth would perish without coming to know him and end up in hell. Amen? We know that by what God did for us. That's the sole reason he gave Jesus on the earth, was so that he would die for people, so he would go to hell for them, so they wouldn't have to. Amen? And now he says, I want you as my body, because the head is no longer on the earth. He's in us, of course, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but he's not doing the going anymore. He's seated next to the Father, and that's where he's going to stay. Praise God. But we're the body, and so he tells us, actually, we are more effective than Jesus was. You say, man, that seems like blasphemy. No, Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works will you do. Amen? He actually said it's better that he leaves so that we could come become the manifestation, have the Spirit of God, have be the body of Christ, because where Jesus was in one central location, now Jesus can be all around the world through us. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are little Jesuses walking the planet. We are one with Him. Paul talks about marriage over there in Ephesians. He says a husband and wife come together, they're one flesh. He said, this is a great mystery. He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So there is an application of a husband and wife becoming one in marriage. But he said there's also an application that when we get born again, we become one with Christ. If we would get that revelation that we are one with Him, oh, how it would change us. Amen? And so he says for us to go into the world to preach or proclaim the gospel. Why? Go with me real quick to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10 and verse 13. Remember he said over there in John 3:16, he said, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever would believe would not perish, right? So salvation isn't automatic, just like healing's not, just like prosperity's not. It takes belief. It takes calling on the Lord, doesn't it? Well, this verse tells us that in Romans 10 and verse 13. It says, for whosoever, aren't you glad it's all inclusive? Yeah. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, that'll just kick religion right between the eyes right there. It doesn't say anything about saying a certain amount of prayers or a certain amount of church attendance or a certain amount of paperwork or a certain amount of money or a certain amount of backflips and hula hoops. I mean, come on. It simply says if you just call on the name of Jesus, you're welcomed in. Amen? That tells me that the worst sinner on planet Earth right now is just one phone call away. I'll tell you, when you start to realize that, you'll have more mercy on the sinner. Because God knows, listen, they're just one call away from being mine. Paul was a murderer. One call changed everything. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So God's made it simple. But why is he telling us to go into the world to preach the gospel? Because that phone call does not happen without some domino effect first starting. To get to the phone call of calling on Jesus, something has to take place. Just the same way to pick up a phone and just start talking to someone, that's not how it works. You pick up the phone, you find them in your contact list, you either hit their name or you dial the number, then you call them, right? Something has to be done first. People don't just call on Jesus. Why? What happens? He said in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But then verse 14 says, how then shall they call in him, which is calling on him to get born again? He says, how can they call if they haven't believed? So first, before a phone call is made, there has to be belief, right? You don't call on somebody, Jesus, to save you if you don't believe in his redemption, believe in his salvation. So first of all, the sinner, before they make the call, they have to believe. But then it doesn't stop there. In verse 14, he says, in whom they've not believed, and how will they believe? If they haven't heard. Well, doesn't the Bible tell us a couple verses down? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. So he says, calling on him is the simplicity of the gospel to get saved. But before somebody calls, they got to believe. But they can't believe until they first hear. Right? You don't just automatically believe in something until you hear about it. Amen? Kids don't believe in Santa Claus when they come out of the womb. They're told about Santa Claus. They hear it. Then they believe it. Same thing with Jesus. It's just not automatic belief. You got to, before you call, you got to believe. Before you believe, you got to hear. But then it backs up, and this is where our part is. And how will they believe? Remember, the believing leads to the call, and the calling leads to the saving. How shall they believe in him if they've not heard, right? That's what we're saying. They got to hear about it. But then it goes on to say, how shall they hear? Which, what does the hearing do? The hearing leads to believing. The believing leads to the calling, and the calling leads to the saved, which is the number one will of God on the earth, that his creation would get born again. How does that happen? Number one, somebody's got to preach it. Somebody has to open their mouth and tell people about Jesus. Amen? How will people get born again if they don't believe? How are they going to believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear if somebody's not telling them? Amen. Now go back with me to Romans chapter 16, Mark chapter 16. Let me get that straight. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. Because I know what happens. People, I'm not saying in this room, but people generally hear preach and they think the gospel and they think that's the pastor's job. Well, the problem with that is I will never probably get to your places of employment. I will probably never sit down at a family reunion or a Thanksgiving meal with you and your family or with you at Christmas time. I might never go to your places where you shop and buy your groceries or buy your gas. Amen? I might never go to your children's school and meet the other parents and meet the other teachers. That is all the world. Those people that don't know Jesus are on the same track to hell as the person over in China, as the person over in North Korea, as the person over in Africa that's never heard about Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, America is just as much of a mission field as any place. Where there's people that are not born again, that's a mission field. What is a mission field? Your life is filled with a mission field. There are people in your kids' schools, people at your jobs, people where you shop, people where you get your gas from, people in your family that don't know the Lord, that are not born again. Hallelujah. And we take it for granted. Well, this is America. Everybody knows. I was in New Brunswick this week with Pastor Tim, and I mean, you talk about wilderness up there. And I was sitting in the back seat of the truck. We were going hunting, and we were going out to our spot, and I heard Pastor Tim start talking to the owner and witnessing to him. And it was amazing how he knew nothing. I mean, just he had heard of Jesus, like just the name, had no idea what it was all about. And you think, how could this be? In North America in 2017, it's all around us, ladies and gentlemen. We just don't want to look for it. Amen? Because why? Because it puts a responsibility on us. So Mark 16 and verse 15. Remember over there in Ephesians, we're not going to turn there, but in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, God's given some apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. I can't think of anything more top priority in ministry than winning the lost. What comes before winning the lost? Nothing. That's the number one will of the Father. Now, we go other places and do other things, but that's the number one will of the Father. And the Bible says, I'm to train you to do the work of the ministry. Did you know you had your own ministry? You might not ever be a pastor. You might not ever be anointed to have a TV ministry or an outreach ministry. But your life's a ministry. And in Mark 16 and verse 15, the Bible says you have an anointing. An anointing to do what? Preach the gospel. Every single person has an anointing to preach the gospel. Why? Because your world... you might be the only person that person ever gets an experience or an encounter with Jesus. Here, this guy up in Canada, 53 years old, I believe he was. He never in his life had an encounter with Jesus that he knew of or told us about. That was his first day having an encounter with Jesus. And if we not said anything, he'd still be today not had an encounter with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, notice what it says. Go ye, body of Christ, into all the world and preach the gospel if you feel like it. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel if it's convenient. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel if you have the title of reverend before your name. No. He tells you to go. And my question is, why aren't the body of Christ, or why isn't the body of Christ going? This was not a suggestion. This was not, well, if you have time, go into all the world. No. The head, it's like this. I told about the disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a terrible disease, you know, and a lot of people, it affects just their body. It doesn't even affect their mind. And so their mind is just as sharp as it ever was. Their mind wants to, but their body doesn't cooperate. You know how frustrating that would be? I've had dreams before where my mind wants to do something, but my body's not cooperating with me. Amen? Just on a lesser level, have you ever sat on your leg wrong and it falls asleep and you get up and you almost stumble? It's like your mind's saying do it the right thing, but your body's not cooperating. How frustrating for the Savior to know He hung on the tree and received the sins of mankind. And now He's the head giving out the orders. In Mark 16 and verse 15, that was an order to the body of Christ to go out and proclaim what Jesus has done. And people don't do it. We get so comfortable in our little cubicle of life. Don't bother us. Don't bother me. I don't want to do anything. My God, there's people, ladies and gentlemen, there's women and children and men are dying all around us going to hell. And we have the answer. Amen. Do you realize that you are the bridge to get people to Jesus? Jesus is the bridge to get people to God. People don't get to Jesus without somebody telling them. Amen. We get so comfortable. I mean, I'm thankful for the abundant life message, and I'm thankful for the prosperity, the health and wealth gospel. But the health and wealth gospel, number one, was so that we could be healthy and wealthy to go do the works of God. Not so we could gather up as many vehicles and as much land and as much toys and our little life. Those things come with the package, but that's not the sole priority of why we're blessed. It's so we can go forth, because you can't go forth sick and you can't go forth broke very effectively. Amen? Hallelujah. But yet we just sit. We're so comfortable. And so we're asking people, and we all, those of you who are here that Wednesday night, we consecrated to this. And if you listen to this, we prayed a prayer. And if you prayed it, you consecrated to God to go forward different. But you need to submit to this verse. Why, there's people around us that they need to hear what we got. Amen. And you have an anointing to do it. Jesus said so. And so my question, don't answer this, but just, you know, to yourself. When's the last time you bragged about what God's doing in your life? When's the last time you told somebody the plan of salvation? When's the last time you actually prayed with somebody and watched somebody's life be changed and turned around and get born again? When's the last time? There's people that will live on this earth and die on this earth and never lead one person to Jesus. Just, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to talk about anything. Just leave me alone. Well, that's going to be a sad, sad story when you stand face to face with Jesus. And we saw in Luke chapter 16 that hell is crying out. Remember Lazarus went to hell? A rich man named Lazarus went to hell. Remember that? And he said he wanted someone to come help him. He said, that's not possible. You're in torments for the rest for eternity. He said, well, then send somebody to my family to tell them about this place. You know who the number one soul winners in the whole world are? The people in hell. They're the number one soul winners. They'll testify about that place. They'll testify that Jesus is real. They'll testify that you don't want to come here. Ladies and gentlemen, if we could have 5 seconds in hell. I remember, I wish we could all have 5 seconds in hell. It would change us forever. If hell's a real place and if people really go there, where the Bible tells that, we can't walk out of here the same. We cannot walk out of here the same. Amen? There's a story, it was, I don't remember what year it happened, was the gentleman, he was a Navy SEAL named Marcus Luttrell, and the movie was called Lone Survivor, and it was a thing over in Afghanistan. It was the day the Navy SEALs had their biggest loss of life in the history of the Navy SEALs, and he was a group of, him and three other teammates of his, and they were in Afghanistan, and they were encountered by 150 to 200 Afghan rebels, I guess you'd call them, and just tremendous gunfire and outnumbered, and they fought valiantly, you know, and his buddies were killed, and he survived, that, hence the title Lone Survivor. But he said this, and and I'll never forget what he said because I think about it in terms of hell. Because people have been taken to hell. Brother Hagin went to hell. Pastor Tim had a guy at his church, I believe the guy that wrote the book 23 Minutes in Hell, had him there. And all these people that have been there say the same thing about it. The one thing that really jumps out to people. And Mark Luttrell said this, he said, when he was on that mountain, I got to the point where they were so outnumbered, couldn't do anything. His buddies had received numerous gunshots. And, you know, they're off in their own spots and can't get to him. You know, you expose yourself, you're just going to get shot. And his buddies, he knows they're dying. He said, the thing that jumped out to him, and he said, I'm not a hero. He said, a Navy SEAL never puts down their weapon. He said, the thing that he couldn't take was his buddy screaming on that mountain. He put his rifle down and just covered his ears in the middle of a gunfight while his buddies just screamed, help me, Marcus! Help me, Marcus! That's what hell is crying out. Help me! Help me! I know this ain't your feel-good Sunday morning message, but we need to light fires under people to get them to go forward. Because hell's a real place, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus talked about it. And people all around us are dying and going there. Amen? And I think about the screams. And that's what people that have actually been to hell, noteworthy people that you can trust, that have fruit in their ministry, that you know they're the real deal, they said the screams down there. It never will leave your mind. If we could have 5 seconds... 5 seconds. Oh, our coworkers would hear about Jesus. Oh, our family members would hear about Jesus. Amen. It's the truth. That's why Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He said, I need my body to go out and tell people about me. Because if anybody knows about the horrors of hell, it's Jesus. Why? He went there and paid the price for us. Praise God. So I want to help you this morning. I want to help you with our witnessing. I want to help you with going forward. Because, and we did a little bit on Wednesday. I encourage you to listen to that message. I think the message is titled, Are You Going? Or something, because you know that's what Jesus said, going. Are you? If you're not, you need to get going. You're in disobedience if you're not, ladies and gentlemen. You're actually in disobedience to the number one thing you ought to be obedient to. Can I just really get bold here? Come on. What are you doing for Jesus in your life? Ask yourself that. What are you doing for the Lord? Are you doing anything for him? Well, I go to church. You're not doing him any favors by being here this morning. You're not doing him any favors by being here. He's glad you're here, and he'll impart things to you. But what are you doing for Jesus? What? And I'm not insinuating that you're not doing anything, but I'm asking you to sincerely ask yourself that question. Does life just go on every day for you, and you see people that are hurting, they're sick, their kids are sick, they're going to hell, and you don't say anything, yet you got the answer on the inside of you? What are you doing for Jesus? Are you doing anything for the Lord? Or is it just about you and your things and your stuff every single day? What a sad existence of a life. There's no purpose in that life. Striving for, my retirement and all my summer homes and my stuff and my cars and my boats and my land and my hobbies. That's all going to be fruitless when you're standing before the Son of God. But the purpose of waking up every day, Lord, use me. Send me to someone. Send someone to me. I'll witness. I'll be the light of the world. That has purpose behind it. Amen? And let me just help you with this real quick. You know what the number one joy stealer is that I believe that steals people joy? Joy is discontentment. People get discontented with their life. They see somebody else's life. They see something they don't have. And they instead of looking at their life and being so incredibly grateful for what they have, right? Why am I saying this? Because if you will have an eternal perspective every day, not only will it give your life purpose, but it'll help with that discontentment. That's good. Amen? I don't care if I don't get the biggest house down here. I already got a mansion up there. In fact, the one I would get down here, I'd just be renting anyways. It's a good one when they're spitting. When you start spitting cotton, you know it's a good one. Amen. I'm just renting down here. It doesn't matter what I get down here. It's just rental. Jesus said this. He said, stop building up treasures for yourself down here where moths, thieves, and rust destroy. He said, but build up treasures in heaven where it will never waste away. Amen? Doesn't mean you can't enjoy stuff. I'm talking about people that's their purpose, man. You're just living for you. You're living for your retirement. You're living for your paycheck. You're living for your savings account and your vacations. Yet the world's dying and going to hell, and we have the answer. Amen? It's a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. Praise God. It's a wake-up call. And so being discontented, starting having an eternal perspective, it changes everything. It makes you more thankful for what you have. It gives you purpose waking up every day. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. There's nothing like, and I've led multiple people to Jesus in a church service, but a lot of you might not ever have a chance to do it with crowds. Funerals, at youth group things, at church services, but also outside of here. Mark 16:15 applies to me outside of these walls too. And there is nothing like leading somebody to Jesus. Amen. Nothing compares to it. Amen. To hear somebody give their life to Jesus, say, well, I could never do that. Jesus told you to go. Yes, you can. Amen. You have an anointing to do so. You just got to do it. You got to get over the fear and just got to submit to that verse. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to help you with your witnessing because I get it. I know the fear comes and you get uncomfortable and things. But I want to talk today about your life because, if you'll endeavor to consecrate to this verse and say, Lord, send me to somebody, send somebody to me, he will. And then, but you'll find that this will happen a lot more and be a lot easier. If your life looks like something, people will just be drawn to you. Amen. People are drawn to me. Not because of me, but because of what I got. Because of what I radiate. Because of what comes off of my life, people want that. People want to have joy. People want to have hope. People want to not be fearful. People want to not be stressed and anxious. That's everything that radiates from my life every day when I go to the store. Every day when I used to work a secular job, that's what would radiate from me. People want that. The world is hurting and dark. Amen? So I want to help you today. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Might step on some toes today, but you need it. We all need it. Matthew chapter 5. And if you can't get excited about messages about winning the lost, there's something wrong with you. You seriously need to be checked over. Oh, I'm pumped when he talks about prosperity. I'm pumped when he talks about how to get my healing. I'm pumped when he teaches me how to get material things. This ought to make you the most pumped. Talking about winning the lost. Holy cow. You know, to ask the Lord for a vision is not scriptural. You got to be careful doing that because the devil can accommodate you. But I've cried out from a pure heart, you know, just saying, Lord, show me how. Just show it to me. Whatever, if it'll change me and make me better, show it to me. I want to see the screams. I want to hear them because I want to be a reality here on earth that there are sweet people. There are sweet, good people. And in fact, the guy in Canada, it was so sad, my heart was breaking. And Pastor Tim had to back off. And it was interesting because I was sitting in the back seat and the Spirit of God was saying he's got to back off. And I was like, well, he's got the same Holy Ghost. He's going to know that. And he did. He backed off and we talked about it later. But the guy was saying, my dad was a good person and I've been a great person. You know, I've never wronged anybody. I've kind of minded my own business. That doesn't get you into heaven, but the world thinks it does. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a reality, and I don't mean to be dramatic and to be in your face about this. There are good people who never wronged anybody, who are loving, generous, sweet people that are in torments right now. Yeah. Just the truth. So I don't want to believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. You say, well, that's not very merciful of God. No, God is the very picture of mercy. He made Jesus so nobody would have to go there. But see, the problem is the body doesn't do their job. The body doesn't do their job. And see, God sticks with his word, and he expects us to do the going. So if we don't do the going, people aren't going to hear it. People don't hear it. They won't believe. They don't believe. They won't call. If they don't call, they won't be saved. Amen. Amen. So the way it goes, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Look at the word says here. You are the light of the world. Well, what does that mean? Well, the world is in spiritually speaking. Not talking about the sun and our light bulbs. Spiritually speaking, who is planet Earth run by? The devil. He's the god of this world. Well, the devil is the very epitome of darkness. So actually, spiritually, the world, for the most part, sits in darkness except for the born-again believers. It's kind of like this. It's kind of like a big auditorium. Have you ever been to a concert? All the lights are off and people are holding their cell phones up, waving. Hey Jude, you know, I'd probably do that for that song and stuff like just waving it and getting into it, right? And it's darkness, mostly it's darkness, but there's little specks of light all around, right? That's what the world looks like spiritually. It's darkness, but we're the little specks of light. We're the little cell phones waving back and forth. But before cell phones, back in all your hippie days, you had the lighters, right? I wasn't back for those days, but I've heard about them. Amen, hallelujah. We're the little lighters. So my point is this, though. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You stick out spiritually like a sore thumb in this world. The same way, if we shut these lights off and covered up all the cracks so there's no light peering through and it was pitch black, the same way, if we did that and then I stood up on stage and lit a lighter or lit a match, all the attention would go to that light. That light would stand out. The darkness would be drawn to that light. Why? It stands out in the darkness. Here's my point. You are the light of the world. You are standing out. And my question in the title of today's message that you're going to see on live stream is, what are you radiating? Because you're standing out. Whether you know it or not, you might say, nobody noticed. No, we're talking spiritually. You stand out like in your jobs, in your family, at your places shopping. Spiritually speaking, you stand out. And then it says, neither do men, verse 15, light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. We're not to sit in our little homes and our cubicles and hide. You don't light a candle and then put it under a basket. You light a candle to put it out there so everyone can see it. God didn't light you up so you could be hiding in your home and in your life. He lit you up with Jesus so you could shine bright and take it to the world. Glory to God. Now look at this though. Verse 16. Let your light shine. Let your light so shine before men. So now he's saying, how our light shines is up to you. It's going to shine, but how it shines is up to you. Now let's look at this. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What's he saying? When our light shines the way it should, people are going to recognize there's something different about them, and God ultimately is going to get the glory, and it's going to lead to people being born again. I've seen it over and over again in my life. Actually, that's how I became born again. I'll talk a little bit about that as we get going forward here. And so my question to you this morning is this. What kind of a billboard for Jesus are you? You know, billboards, right? They have different advertisements. They have different things on a billboard that you look at a billboard and it tells you something about that particular company, that particular organization, right? What is your light saying? What is your billboard saying? Oh, we're going to hit on some things today. Praise God. Because it's time you realize how important you are, how vital you are to mankind's eternity. Praise God. So go with me to Acts chapter 8. I want to show you something here about being a billboard and how your works. Now remember, the Bible just said that if your light shines and you have good works, people will see that. They'll give God the credit and glorify Him. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5. If you don't do anything with these two messages and you just walk out of here and that's just it and go... then we missed the whole thing. We missed the whole thing. I told you about the gentleman in Pennsylvania that I'm almost positive the guy's in hell because that's the witness I have in my heart. I want to hold out hope that somebody got to him, but I was supposed to minister to him. God told me to minister to this sweet old man in Pennsylvania, and I didn't do it. And I kept saying, I'll do it later. No, I was his visitation from God. And I didn't do it. And I heard one day that he died. And I'll tell you what, I'd give every amount of money in the world. I would sell my vehicles. I'd sell my house. And I'm not telling you just to sound righteous up here. I would sell everything that I have. I'd get 3 jobs and put all money if it would give me 1 shot at him. If I could have 5 more minutes with him, I'd give anything in the world for it. Because hell's a real place. And that was a sweet, sweet man who lived a good life. And for all intents and purposes, is probably in torments for eternity. Amen. It's the truth. Truth. It's a sad reality, but it's the reality. Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What was he doing? Mark 16 and verse 15. Telling Jesus. What's preaching? Just telling Jesus. Just telling the gospel. Amen? When someone got me born again, they didn't have some eloquent sermon. They didn't have some eloquent speech. They just told me, hey, you know, your life's in trouble. God can help you. God wants to love you. God wants to take you in. And I had questions and they helped me. Praise God. It was simple. Preach Christ to them. And notice verse 6. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke. So they paid attention. Why are they paying attention to Philip? Look at hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So what's he saying? Something about his life caused people to take heed or give credence to what he was saying about Jesus. The same way that Matthew chapter 5 says that if our light will shine right, and I'm going to help you with your light shining right tonight, or this morning, and radiate in the right way. The same way that if our light will shine right, they'll see our good works, and it'll translate into them glorifying God, which if they're glorifying God, they're born again. Amen? Amen. So my point is, whether it's miracles, signs, and wonders, that's not the only thing that the Word says how our light can shine. Amen? But we're going to show you. But my point is, the way we act, the way we live, the way we present ourselves, the way we shine every day, that will make it easy and pave a path for us to get people born again. It just will. Hallelujah. Number one, are you ready?
Amen.
Let me ask you, are you like the world? Does your life look any different than the world? Or do you just conduct you go to the same places the world does and do the same things the world does, put the same things the world does in their body, talk the same way the world does, act the same way the world does? Say, well, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 and I'll show you. 1 John towards the back of the Bible, chapter 2 and verse 15. Remember Romans 12 said, be not conformed to the world. I always thought it was the craziest thing someone said to me. Oh, Pastor, you wear a suit and you're not going to be able to relate to anybody. No. I don't bring my honor and standards down to reach people.
Amen.
I don't have to bring, that's a lie of the enemy. In fact, what I have found with people is that when there's a true change on the inside, it will show up on the outside. Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. You'll start to see people start thinking different about what they wear to church. You start thinking people, how they conduct themselves. Why? There's a true change on the inside. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But we have to be like the world. We have to act like, no, you don't. You don't disobey the word in the name of being like the world. Because what happens is when you're like the world, it's sucking the power right out of you. Why was Jesus so powerful? He was as righteous as could be. He was as godly and as holy as can be. And God said, don't be like the world. Don't be conformed to the world. 1 John 2 and verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And verse 17 says, the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abideth forever. What's he saying? Don't love the world. Stop acting like the world. Right. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Would you say that God has power?
Amen.
Would you say that Jesus has power? Absolutely. Those are stupid questions. But it's to prove a point here. 1 Peter 1 and verse 16, Janae, would you go to verse 14? Let's go back to verse 14 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Thank you. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves, what's he saying? Don't dress up like the world. Some Christians, you wouldn't even know they're born again. You know there's people that you know in your life who we're talking about. I don't mean in the church. I mean, you know you have people in their life. You'd have no idea the way they live their life, the way they talk, the way they conduct themselves. No idea. No difference between them and the sinner. It's true. Amen. He said, don't fashion yourselves according to the former lust you had when you were a sinner in your ignorance. Verse 15. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we're to act different. We're to talk different. We're to conduct business different. We're to conduct relationships different. We're to conduct things. We don't do things like the world. We raise our kids different. We do our money different. Amen.
Yeah, so good.
Hallelujah. But as he's called you, verse 15, holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation or behavior. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now, what's the big deal in witnessing and being used being holy? Well, go to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. Are you like the world? I hope not. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20. I don't know about you, but when I got born again, the things of the world started falling off me. It was real to me. Jesus was real to me. Standing in front of Jesus is real to me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Now look at this. But in a great house, there's not only vessels of gold and silver. He's talking about the body of Christ, the house of the Lord. He said, there's not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man, everybody say if.
Yeah.
If a man purge himself. Now, verse 19, you didn't see that verse. It said to depart from iniquity. And then it said in the house there's gold and silver and other kind of vessels. He's saying if a man will purge himself from what? The world. He will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet or right or fit. That word meet means fit. Fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. The number one good work that there is for a Christian is to get people born again. And the Bible says, if you want to be fit for the master's use, you can't be a vessel unto dishonor. Because God's power, which what we need to go forward, does not flow through vessels of dishonor. It just doesn't. He said to be fit or prepared or meet for the master's use, for God to be able to look down and say, I'm going to use them to the utmost. They're going to go out and tear up the devil. They need to be set apart. They need to purge themselves from iniquity. And they need to become holy like I'm holy. The more we're like God, the more we'll have results like God. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Does anybody care out there? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. I love what my pastor talks about, how he was in California. At Pastor Nancy's Dufresne house, he said it was either out back or in the front. There's a huge, like, sitting area, and there's a huge, beautiful fountain at her home. And when he was out there, he got the revelation that, wow, that fountain is beautiful, majestic. You know, you have gatherings around it. It's kind of like a centerpiece of outside where when you go outside, that's kind of where people gather. It's a beautiful thing, right? And that vessel, it holds water, doesn't it? And there's another vessel in the house that holds water that you don't gather around and have your parties around. It's called the toilet. Now, they both hold water, but one vessel's unto honor and one vessel's not. Amen. Which vessel do you want to be for God? The one that he can parade out there and send people to you because your life looks the picture of godliness? Your life looks the picture of power? Come on. Amen. Praise God. Holiness is... you know, people say there's curse words. Well, the dirtiest word in church is the word holy. That's the dirtiest four-letter word in 2017 in the body of Christ. Nobody wants to talk about that. They want to talk about this grace movement. Everybody just does whatever they want. Yeah, everybody does whatever they want, and then they're like the devil, and then they have the devil working in their life and not God. Oh, you're just, that's legalism. You're just preaching, be perfect. No, but ladies and gentlemen, we ought to put down the things of our past. The Bible tells us to do so. Yeah. Amen. Wow. Go to verse 19, Janae, please, of the same chapter. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart, leave it, iniquity. That's the word of God. That's still relevant today, ladies and gentlemen. Why? Because then it goes on to say, if you'll purge yourself of these, you'll become a vessel unto honor, fit for the master's use. Glory to God. All right, you ready for number two? How is your love walk? Remember, the Bible says, 1 John 4:8, that God is love. Go with me to Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. What's your love walk like? What does that have to do with anything? Well, look what Romans 2 and verse 4 tells us. Again, we're trying to help you to witness. You get these things straight and people will be drawn to you. Why? Because I was drawn to this. Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance of long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God. Do you see that there? Well, number one characteristic of God is that he's love. His love is a demonstration of his goodness. The goodness of God does what? It leads people. It leads them where? Come with me. To repentance. It leads not only the sinner when somebody's down and has trouble. You ever been around somebody, they've missed it and messed up? I've missed it and messed up. You know what got me back on track? People that loved me. People that picked me up and brought me in and hugged me and put me back on my feet and said, it's not over for you yet. Well, the same way. You reach out to someone that's a sinner and you show them the love of God, it's going to stand out to them. How do I know? Because when I was a sinner and I wasn't born again, the person that led me to Jesus was Reverend Randy Nailbone. And what he did, he had it on his heart. I remember we told you on that Wednesday night, pray and be led of who to minister to. Ask God to send you people. Check your heart for compassion. When God's opening that door, walk through that door. But Reverend Randy had me put on his heart by God. And we became friends during the baseball season and things. And he ran into me in Walmart one January night of 2002, it would have been, in Fredonia Walmart. And the Spirit of God said to him, he saw me looking at the movies, and said, go over there, invite him to your cabin to go hunting. He likes to go hunting, and get him born again. Took a person. So he, and I had been on the baseball team with him. That was back, I was depressed and living in the world. And he stuck out so much. He was just always so kind and just goofy and fun and happy all the time. I was like, that is odd. Why are you like that? And he'd always say, because I'm going to heaven. What's there to be upset about? I got Jesus. Like, he would just tell me the gospel, and I would think he was crazy, but it was putting something in me. But see, what stood out to me was not his words, but his life. What his life looked like. And then he invites me to the cabin, buys me dinner, allows me to shoot a deer on his property, drags it for me, guts it for me, cuts the whole thing up for me, packages it for me. And all this stuff is standing out to me, the love of God. Wow, this person's the real deal. But yet, the people in the body of Christ, Christians, can be some of the nastiest, miserable, backbiting, least generous, cheapskates on planet Earth. It's true. There's some sinners. Brother Hagin used to travel and go on vacation with sinners because they were way more fun than Christians. He did. He'd rather hang out with worldly people. Now, he didn't do what they did and things like that, but be around them. They were nicer. They were more fun. They were more generous. They weren't as judgmental. They weren't as critical. Yeah. Amen. What's your love walk look like? Are you nasty to everyone? When's the last time you reached out to a sinner and got them a gift card for their birthday or took them to lunch or complimented them and started to infiltrate the goodness of God on their life? It leads people to salvation. Yeah. The goodness of this man, all the stuff he was doing for me, and then he had Jesus. Now, the Jesus that I was always taught about came from Grandma. Yeah, come on. I've been talking about her too much lately. I don't want her to know anymore. But I'm thinking she's way nicer now than she was down here. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Love you, Grams. Love you. But the Grandma I know, I didn't want her Jesus. Why? Because her life, she was so mean. She was so angry all the time. She was so critical, wasn't she? So judgmental. Just awful to be around, and yet she just waved the banner of Jesus. Okay, then I'm going. If that's what Jesus makes you like, see ya. I don't want Jesus. But when I saw my friend, wow, he's so loving and generous, and he's so blessed and all these things, I want that. Amen. Hallelujah. What's your love walk like? Who are you reaching out to? Who are you being loving? Okay, last but not least. Are you like the world? How's your love walk? Again, if you'll purge yourself, become a loving person, be sweet to people, be complimented, do little things for people, it'll stand out. And then when they come talking to you when they're hurting, you can hang your hat on Jesus. And your words will have way more clout with them if they've seen it in action. The world's, remember, because how we act will lead people to being born again, right? Amen. Amen. Number three, here we go. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Do all things without murmuring, that's complaining, and disputing. What's he saying? Don't be a complainer. Why? Verse 15 tells us. That you may be blameless and harmless. You know what the complaining Christian is? They're harmful. You know what the doubting and unbelieving and grudge-holding and angry and bitter and worried and stressed out Christian is? They're harmful to the body of Christ. That repels people from Jesus, doesn't draw them in. Amen. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You ought not complain like the world complains. You ought not act the way the world acts when hell shows up at your front door. But let's face it, that's how Christians act. They get concerned and worried and complain. They fret. They're disgruntled with their life. They complain about everything. Right? What you're doing is you're getting the Jesus raid out and you're spraying to keep Jesus away. That's what you're doing. Complain. Doubters, unbelievers. We ought to be the ones that when the financial trial shows up and our car breaks down and we show up to work, where's your car? It's broke down. Oh, how are you going to pay for that? God's going to bless me, just like he did. And then you start telling about other times. Yeah. Oh, your family, I heard your family's going through something. Is everything okay? Oh, everything's going to be great because we got God on our side. Yeah. If you really believe that, that's how you talk. I wonder how many people really believe that about their father. I don't worry about things. Why? He's always there. He's always faithful and he loves me. I'm not worried about nothing. I don't have a care in the world. Amen. Say, you're fibbing. No, I'm not. Not fibbing. I'm telling you the truth. Say, well, you must not go through anything. Ah, contraire, mon frère. You don't know, praise God, what's going on in life. Hallelujah. I know that a few people that I've led to Jesus had been around me when things really went sour in my life. But the way I responded was such a testimony. They said, you didn't get worried about that. You're not frustrated. You didn't get scared about that. You come here every day and you're in a good mood. How is that possible? Door open, walk through, go in for the kill. I sense it. That's blood in the water for the Christian that is going to get people saved. Amen. When they say, why? Oh, that's shark bait for me. Ooh, I'm coming for you. I'm going to chomp you right down to Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. But are you willing to walk through that door? See, if your life radiates it, eventually they're going to be hurting and come to you. Why? The people that are hurting most in my life and things that go on, the people that think I'm craziest, when it hits the fan, guess who they're calling? Me. Why? Because I'm the picture of calm and steady and faith and victory and joy and optimism. Amen. And that eventually will wear on a person to when they're having trouble, they will come to you. And they'll say, what in the world is going on? Because being a Christian doesn't make us exempt from life's problems. It gives us the opportunity to be exempt from life's defeats. That's what a Christian does. We have the opportunity to be victorious over everything if we'll get into faith and use our faith. But you know what? We show up and grumble and gripe and moan and groan and complain about our money and this and that with our kids and our family, our job. We badmouth the boss. And you're just spraying raid, Jesus raid, keeping Jesus away. But man, you show up every day when something goes wrong in your work, say, it's okay, it's going to be okay. You be the one that's going to pick everybody up. Hey, I heard that's going on in your family. Can I pray for you? Have you ever asked anybody, hey, can I pray for you? What's going on? I see you're having a bad day. Can I pray for you? Hey, I know a God who can turn this around. And if your life is looking the picture of love and joy and holiness, you might be the crazy one in the family. You might be the crazy one in the office, but they're going to want to come to you. Why? They're drawn to the power. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Oh, that's really good. See, because it's like the bug lights, you know, the bugs see that power radiating, and they just got to get drawn to it, and then they get too close, zap them. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to zap the sinner. Amen? And if you shine bright enough, that they're going to just have to be drawn to you, and they're going to get too close, and they're going to get zapped. We're going to whack them, glory to God. Amen? Hallelujah. Consecrate to being a soul winner. Consecrate to being a soul winner. The world needs us, ladies and gentlemen. The world needs us. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We praise you and glorify you. We commit to this. Oh my goodness, there's people that are dying and going to hell. Thank you. Look, can we right now, if you're born again, if you're not, I'll give you an opportunity. Well, first, let me just do this. Let's get everybody an opportunity to receive Jesus. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here this morning, and ask yourself this question, if you can hear my voice, whether it's in here, live stream, or on the archives in the future. If today happened to be your last day on planet Earth, do you without a shadow of a doubt know that when your life ended, that you would go immediately and be in the presence with the Father? If you can say, Pastor, I like that. That sounds good, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm here to tell you there's a way to know. The Bible says if we call in the name of Jesus, we'll be saved. There's qualifications to calling, though. Just like if you call somebody long distance, you got to put their area code in. You can't just dial their regular number. You got to put the area code. There's requirements. Well, there's requirements before you call on Jesus. And they're simple. Number one, you have to believe in him. Because you can't call on him if you don't believe in him. And then once you believe in him, you got to ask him into your life. He doesn't barge in. He wants to be invited. So if you're here today and you could say, Pastor, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven, but I do believe in Jesus. I do want him to come into my life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I won't embarrass you. I won't have anybody come forward. You don't have to become a member of this church. You won't have to stand up or say anything on your own. But with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you want to receive Jesus this morning for the first time ever, if you can say, I do believe he was here and he died and rose again, if you want to receive him with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air? I'll have you put it right back down. We're not going to embarrass you, I promise. Don't let this moment pass you by. Anybody at all in here before we move on want to receive Jesus this morning? Just lift your hand in the air. I'll have you put it right back down. Anybody at all before we close? I don't like to rush this. Anybody at all before we close? Father, I don't see any hands, so I trust and hope that we are all born again. But if not, I pray that anybody under the sound of my voice right now would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus the Lord of their life. Now, for all of us that are born again, I think we should do the honorable thing and thank the Father for our salvation. Thank him that somebody told you. Whether it was a church service, maybe it was a Billy Graham crusade, maybe it was a TV, maybe it was at a hunting cabin and like it was for me. Just thank him that somebody had the boldness to actually open their mouth, because you would be in the category of hellbound if somebody didn't. Thank you, Lord, for Reverend Randy. Thank you that he was willing to inconvenience himself for my convenience. And Lord, I thank you for the plan of salvation. Thank you that you made it simple. Let's just worship him that we're born again. We ought to keep that in the forefront of our thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. Thank you, Lord, I'm saved. There's no hunting animal that I could ever harvest that would ever compare. There's no amount of money. There's no house, no vehicle, nothing that compares to the gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord. 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 We praise you. Now, Father, you said you confirm your word with signs following. If there's anybody here that you need hands laid on you for if you have anything in your body, it was just prompted in my heart. If you have any sickness in your body, would you come forward this morning? Hallelujah. Nikki, would you go get Maddie? I want to pray for her. She's on my heart to pray for her. The Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Praise God. So I'm not the healer. Don't look to me. Look to Jesus. Praise God. Just stand shoulder to shoulder. We're going to go ahead and just believe God. Normally, sometimes I'll ask for, you know, what you're going through and things to get specific. But I'm just going to obey my spirit, and I'm just going to believe from the head to toe that you're healed and whole. I had a lady come up to me. This is for help you here. A lady come up to me last night. We prayed for her last week in Olean, and the symptoms got worse. I said, stand your ground. It might get worse before it gets better. You know, they turned up the fire 7 times hotter on the men of God before it got better. Amen? That's what the devil will do. So we're going to just pray and believe God that when I lay hands on you, according to the word, that the power of God is going to go through you. Praise God. And for healing from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we call her healed and whole in Jesus' name. Head to toe. Every bit of symptom, disease, sickness, whatever's there. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, Father, we thank you for healing. Head to toe, according to your word, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we call her healed and whole. It all must go in Jesus' name. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, we call her healed and whole in Jesus' name. All must go. Daddy, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, complete restoration and healing. It all must go from head to toe in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, from head to toe, it must go. Call her healed in Jesus' name. Hi, Maddie, I'm going to pray for you. The Bible says that if we lay hands on people, God can heal you. So we're going to pray for you, okay? We're going to believe God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just pray for her. From the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, all symptoms, all that's crooked and out of place and all that they're saying, it has to go. We call for complete restoration and complete healing from the top of this beautiful little girl's head to the bottom of her feet. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Proud of you. Hallelujah. Let's worship him. and thank Him for healing this morning. Glory to God. Let's give Him the praise and the glory. Hallelujah. We glorify You. We magnify You, Lord. We thank You for complete restoration. We thank You for complete healing, Father. We love You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, Wednesday night, no prayer this week, but Wednesday night, 6:30. Have a great rest of the weekend. You are dismissed. Thank you.